what's going on in the world? Are there challenges? Are there people who are cranky with each other? Is there a worldwide pandemic crisis going on? Is there a global financial crisis? Has Mother Nature gotten cranky for some reason? So she does floods and droughts and bushfires and all sorts of things happen where we have no control over what's going on. But I'm a solution finder, and if you are a parent, a teacher, a coach, a leader, somebody that has a position of responsibility, do you need to be a person who is an optimist, who is a solution finder, who has a creative brain, and if there is a challenge, do you need to overcome it? And whatever challenge comes up, there's always the question, is panic ever part of the solution? And it's been suggested that no, when you're in panic mode, when your brain's under stress, there's nothing you can do to create a better experience for anybody, particularly for yourself, because you're panicking. So what's the solution to any major challenge? And if you have a look at the really big challenges, if we could be a bit hypothetical, so what if we could go backwards from the challenge and work out, well, we know that that's going to happen. What could we plan differently back here to make sure that when this challenge arises, we would be ready for it? Because often we look back, don't we? We go, well, if I knew what I knew, if I knew then what I knew now, then we could have solved that challenge. Well, what if we, and this is a really funny thing for me to say because people accuse me on a regular basis of being obnoxiously happy and unrealistically happy, and you can't be optimistic all the time, you can't be positive all the time. Well, I have an interesting headspace when it comes to challenges, because I always accept that the worst is going to happen. And I'll just say that again. Can you or have you ever accepted that the worst could happen? And if you accept that the worst could happen, the really exciting thing then is, could you plan for it so that if it ever happens, you're ready for it? From a critical thinking point of view, from a risk management point of view, if you're in business, could that be a really good idea? So we're back here, we look forward and we say, okay, what could go wrong? What could happen? What if we had a drought? What if we had a flood? What if the building burnt down? What if there was an earthquake? What if there is a global financial crisis? What if there is a worldwide pandemic medical crisis? What can we do now to make sure that when that happens, when it arrives, we would be ready for it? And it's an interesting, of course, it's an interesting question. It is hypothetical because most of the things that are happening to us right now, did we plan for them? Probably not. But there are some people who did. And that's why I love talking to people who are excellent in business, because people who are always thinking forward have that same philosophy as me. Accept that the worst could happen, plan for it, and then when it does happen, you're ready for it. Now, most of the time, the bad stuff doesn't happen. But if we look back now, and I'll use this, if we're looking at 2020, 21, 2022, if you look at that part of history, if you look at what happened in those years, what could we have done to plan for it? What could we do for future risk management, that if there is a worldwide global pandemic crisis where people are really sick or there is a risk of them getting sick, what could we do? And that's where I get really excited, because as an exercise professional, there are some really exciting things that we can do to help the entire world. And I'm talking big scale for a reason, because if I look back and say, well, what could we have done? Or if I'm here and say, what could we do? And I have the pleasure of being able to share with you that I have been doing that all of my life. We've had many, many worldwide pandemic medical crises. And it's something that I have been looking at all of my life, been aiming to fix all of my life. And I would now love to, in hindsight and in foresight, be able to say, well, these are some of the things that we could do to make sure that the world is ready if it gets attacked by a virus, if it gets attacked by a horrible disease. But ultimately, we are all being attacked by this horrible disease called death. We're all going to die. And I say that with a big smile on my face, and I say that positively and optimistically, because that's something I can't change. Life is a terminal illness. We're all going to die. When you talk about you only die once, well, that's true, but we live every day. So what could we do to make sure that we can bulletproof, we can plan for, we can make our human body ready to be able to handle anything that Mother Nature throws at us, that the world economy throws at us, that some horrible virus will throw at us? What could we do differently? And if we're going to plan for the future, what could we do differently to make sure that we're ready for it? And it's one of those things that I, again, get very excited about, because as an exercise professional, this human body that we live in, it is designed to handle stress. It's an amazing mechanism. When it's in peak, when your human body is in peak physical condition, when my human body is in peak physical condition, so all of the systems are working together, we have a body that is designed to handle stress. And of course, there's a reason for that, because number one, the human body is a survival mechanism. So the human body hasn't really evolved from we have to keep procreating, we have to keep making more people. So if we want to make sure that our species survives, we have to have mechanisms inside the body that if something happens, we can handle it. So that means we're really good at handling stress, we're really good at handling challenges, we're really good at handling anything that's trying to kill us or stress us out or do damage to us, because the human body's designed to survive. And I'm sharing that with you because what are we doing, or what should we have done? And we can't change the past, but what could we do for the future to make sure that our human body, that our kids' human bodies, that the world's human bodies are ready for any medical challenge that hits it, any stressful situation that hits it? And that's where I get, and I've got to be very careful, because I don't want to get into any political arguments. I'm not interested in fighting for one side or the other when it comes to whether or not the world is handling this worldwide medical crisis effectively. I'm just asking the question, if you were the president of a country, if you were the prime minister of a country, if you were the premier of a state, and you were responsible for the health and fitness of a large number of people, what would you do? And the first question I always ask myself, if I've ever asked myself that question, which I have, because imagine right now being in control of a country where you are responsible for millions, if not hundreds of millions of people. Public health is what we call it. What is the public health advice? If you were giving advice to the government, or if you were the government, what public health advice would you be looking for? What do we need to do to bulletproof our humans? What do we need to stress-proof our humans? What do we need to disease-proof our humans? What do we need to do to virus-proof our humans? And there may be a lot of argument about that, and it's easy again to look back and say, well, what should we have done? But here's a great question. Without being political in any way, I'll just, as an exercise professional, this has been my career path. If a human body is really fit, and if a human body is really strong, is it capable of doing more than if we're weak and if we're frail and if we're unfit? And both parts of that, so mentally healthy, fit and strong, and physically healthy, fit and strong. So if I have a really strong immune system, is my body capable of fighting germs, bugs, viruses and diseases? If a new virus comes along that my body's never seen before, how does my immune system handle that? And we know that if you talk to, it doesn't matter which immunologist you talk to, or virologist, or epidemiologist, or cardiologist, or endocrinologist, any of the ologists will all share with us that the human body, if it's fit and if it's strong, is designed to handle challenges, handle stress, handle viruses and handle diseases. We have this immune system that, yes, if we, as we're growing up, of course, and we're in the dirt and we're playing with dog poo and we're putting our fingers in our mouth and we've got all sorts of millions and millions of germs that we pick up on a day-to-day basis. Everything we touch is dirty. Everything's dirty. So why don't we get sick all the time? Because the human body's designed to kill all of those germs, bugs, viruses and stop them from turning into diseases. And even if you pick up a horrible disease, if your body is fit and strong, is it possible that you are more capable of handling that disease? So as a leader, whether it's of a country or a community or a sporting team or a group of students, or you are a parent, what do we need to do to make sure that we are as healthy, fit and strong as we can possibly be mentally and physically? And what do we need to do to make sure that the people that we are responsible for are as healthy, fit and strong as they can be so that they can handle everything? And it seems to be, again, without being political, it seems to be that as a human race, we are relying on pharmaceuticals. We're relying on drugs. So whether it's depression or obesity or coronary heart disease or type 2 diabetes or Alzheimer's or dementia or any of the big killer diseases. And when I talk about pandemics, this hit me really hard in the face. I went to a medical conference. I was one of the guest speakers, and the conference was about diabetes, which is type 2 diabetes combined with obesity. And it seems quite common that when people are obese, they also get type 2 diabetes because their body's broken from just dragging around too much weight. Everything inside the body gets broken. So all the human body systems break down. Cardiovascular disease being the arteries and hoses break down, which then means blood flow and oxygen and nutrient supply is very limited. So we end up with type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, stroke, and a lot of cancers, all caused by being either morbidly obese, obese, or just being unfit and out of shape. So what was interesting at this conference is there wasn't any argument about whether or not the human body should be strong. There's no argument about that. Everyone agrees that we need to be fit and strong. Everybody agrees that we need to have a body that is capable of dealing with all of that stuff. But what was really interesting is that none of the medical professionals were talking about prevention and cure. Now, that I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just sharing with you that at this World Diabetes Conference, where the best in the world got together to talk about this pandemic of the combination of type 2 diabetes and obesity, nobody was talking about curing it and nobody was talking about preventing it. They were only talking about controlling it and what were the best drugs to control it. So can we come up with a drug to help with obesity? Can we come up with a drug that's going to be better with type 2 diabetes? Do we need to create new drugs? Of course, if you are morbidly obese or obese and then you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, is it possible that you walk out of the doctor's office and you've also got a prescription for antidepressant medication? Because how do you deal with that? Your body's broken and you could die soon. That usually comes along with a headspace that isn't very positive. So often when people are diagnosed with diseases, they also are given a prescription of some kind of pharmaceutical happy drug, some kind of antidepressant, some kind of chemical to put into their brain to try and make them feel less stressed, to be less unhappy. As an exercise professional, you can imagine that for me, that all of that sounds... I'll rephrase. What if we didn't have drugs? What if there were no pharmaceutical companies? What if there were no interventions, chemical interventions that man had created? Is our body capable of being fit enough and strong enough and healthy enough to be able to fight those horrible diseases? And even more importantly, prevent them. Is it possible that if we're really fit and really strong, it's very unlikely that we will ever become overweight or obese or morbidly obese? Is it possible that we are less likely to get coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, depression, cancer, stroke, Alzheimer's, dementia, those big long list of killer diseases? If I've got a healthy, fit, strong body, is it possible that I could prevent those diseases? Is it possible that I'm less likely to, if I've got them, I'm going to get rid of them quicker, or they're going to have less effect on my body? And I always use the horrible cancer word as an example. And as an exercise professional, one of the privileges that I've had in my career path is this is going to sound a little bit bizarre, but I've had a lot of clients who have been diagnosed with cancer. And some of them terminally, so yes, you've got 6 months to live or 6 weeks to live or 6 years to live. Interestingly, a lot of those people are still alive 16 years later, 26 years later, even though they were diagnosed with a killer disease. And that's always my question. Even if you are diagnosed with something, is it possible that you could still fight it? And the reason I use cancer is there's not too much argument now among the top experts in the world that a body that is healthy, fit and strong is less likely to get cancer, and the number is around about 80% of cancers are caused by lifestyle. So we're unfit, we're unhealthy, we eat crappy food, we drink too much, we take drugs, we don't look after ourselves, and so our body breaks down, our immune system breaks down, which means we're more likely to get at least 80% of the cancers in the world right now are preventable if we were healthy, fit and strong. I think that's really interesting. The other side note to that is I have ultimate respect for medical professionals, the people who dedicate their lives to keeping the human race healthy. But wouldn't it be nice if they could invest their time with the people that have medical challenges that we have no control over? And I put that into perspective. If 80% of people that get cancer or coronary heart disease or type 2 diabetes or osteoporosis or depression, if 80% of those people, and I take that number, I use that number very carefully, because the other number that's given to me on a pretty much daily basis from medical professionals is that at least 80% of people that are in hospital right now are in hospital due to inactivity or a body that isn't healthy, fit and strong. It's stuff that's in our control. So I'm going to ask that very personal question again. If you are a parent, a teacher, a coach, a leader, responsible for people, what are we going to do to keep them out of hospital? Because I would like our medical professionals, our top level doctors, the people that study how does the endocrine system work, how does the heart and lung system work, how do muscles and bones work, orthopedic surgeons, psychiatrists, psychologists, wouldn't it be nice if they could dedicate their time to the people who really need their help, not the ones that shouldn't be in hospital because they didn't look after themselves, but they could invest their time in the people that have no control over. So yes, there are some cancers that, for God, I don't know why people get them. Little children with cancer, how do you even explain such a horrible thing? But that child needs somebody that can focus on their challenge. But a lot of oncologists, for example, cancer doctors, have to focus on this 80% of people that shouldn't even be in hospital. They're in hospital because they didn't look after themselves. And the reason I'm so passionate about that is, what can we do as leaders? As an exercise professional, I've been banging on about this every day of my life. I want people to be fit and I want them to be strong and I want them to be mentally tough so they can handle all of that stuff. If you get diagnosed with something as horrible as cancer, is it possible that if you are initially fit and strong that you'll be able to fight that thing? You'll be able to do one of two things. You won't have to have radiotherapy or chemotherapy. And if you do, you can have larger amounts of it because your body can handle it better. So you'll recover from your cancer quicker and it's less likely to come back. Now, that's not argued anymore. A fit, strong body is less likely to get cancer. But if it gets sick, it will recover quicker and it's less likely to come back. So if we then apply that to an unknown virus, if we apply that to germs, bugs, viruses and unknown diseases that that a virus can cause, is it possible that if we have a really strong immune system and we have a really strong, fit, healthy body, that we'll be able to handle all of that so much better? So I'm going to do a little bit of a hypothetical, and because I'm a solution finder and I'm sure that you are too, we might not be able to change what's happened in the past, but I'm going to focus on a hypothetical from the past and maybe we can apply it to the future. So what if 10, 20 years ago, we were told that sometime in the future that there would be a worldwide pandemic virus crisis? I mean, you put all those words together and it creates fear automatically. And the challenge, of course, is that stress is one of the biggest causes of diseases, because when your body's under stress, if you don't fight the stress, get rid of the stress, if you're not fit and strong, those horrible chemicals that are used for fight and flight, we need them. But if we're not fighting and flighting, those chemicals just circulate through our body and cause dis-ease. I'm going to say that again. If you don't disperse the stress molecules, if you don't get rid of cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline and use them as movement drugs, they then float around our bloodstream, or I'll rephrase, high blood sugar levels, high blood fat levels, high blood pressure, high heart rate, stress that hasn't been dispersed now puts our body into a state of disease. So if you are stressed, you are more likely to get sick. I'll just put it that simply, and I'm sure that that's pretty understandable. So what would we do if we knew that there was a crisis coming? There was a worldwide medical crisis coming where there was going to be a virus that was going to attack the human body. Who was it going to attack And what if we found out it was going to attack, unfortunately, weaker, sicker people, older people, more frail people, people that already had medical challenges? If we knew that that was possible, what would we do 2 years, 3 years, 5 years beforehand? If you're a doctor, if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a coach, and you knew that there was something coming that was going to attack a body if it was weaker, and when I say old, one of the challenges when you say that a virus attacks old people, there are plenty of really fit, strong old people that have no challenge with fighting a virus. They've still got a really strong immune system. It's when we allow our body to get weak and waste away, which most of us do, just we call it age. We stop lifting heavy, we stop getting puffed, we stop playing our sport, we stop stressing our brain because we've retired, and our body just wastes away and gets frail. I don't want that to happen to me. How about you? So what if we knew that? What if we knew that if you kept your body young, physically young, we can't change the chronological, but what if we keep our body physically young, physically strong, physically fit? And what if the whole world was physically strong and mentally fit and strong, and it was attacked by a virus? Would we be able to handle it better? Would we have less fear associated with what could happen? Is it possible that if we're not fit and strong, we go into panic mode? And is it possible that fear causes panic? So I'm so scared of dying, or I'm so scared of being sick, that now I have stress and fear overtaking my body. So what if I go back to my initial question, which was, what if I accept that the worst is going to happen and then I plan for it? What if I accept that sometime in history there's going to be a worldwide pandemic medical crisis, pandemic meaning medical crisis out of control? So what if I plan that type 2 diabetes could get out of control, or obesity could get out of control, or coronary heart disease could get out of control? Do you know that inactivity now is considered one of the world's biggest killer diseases? What if I plan and understand that if I become inactive, that I could get coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, I could be depressed, there's more chance of cancer, there's more chance of a stroke, there's more chances of Alzheimer's and dementia. If I knew all of that, could I plan for it? Are you getting as excited as me? Now, we can't go back and change. But what if we thought very carefully about the future for our children? What are we going to do for our kids to make sure that they can plan for anything that Mother Nature throws at them? Whether it's a climate stress, or it's a earthquake, or it's a medical challenge, or it's something produced by humans. So it's a financial crisis, or something that humans do to themselves, which of course, if you have a look in history, there's wars and horrible, terrible things that have happened. Who survives and why? And is it possible that the person that is mentally tough and mentally strong, physically tough, physically fit, physically strong, is more capable of handling all of those things? And yes, there are plenty of pharmaceutical alternatives. There are plenty of medical alternatives. But what if there wasn't? What if hypothetically we get wiped out, or the pharmaceutical companies get wiped out, and there are no drugs? Can the human race survive? Can we turn our human body into a disease and virus fighting machine? And of course the answer is yes. Here's my next question though. Why don't we do that? If we have a look at what people eat and how little activity they do and how much they drink and how many drugs they take and how much stress they're under without dispersing it, is it possible that there's every understanding why we need hospitals, doctors, drugs, pharmaceutical companies? Because as humans, we just haven't looked after ourselves. So I'm going to give you another option. What if we decided to get really fit and really strong? If physically I'm really fit and really strong, is it possible that I'll be mentally tougher? And the answer to that simply comes from endocrinology, from the hormonal system, is that when I get really puffed, when I lift really heavy, when I punch really hard, when I kick really hard, when I do an intense activity physically, I have to produce epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol. They're the stress drugs. So I get my body used to dealing with those stress drugs so I can produce them really quickly. They're called movement drugs for a reason. But the beautiful thing is, once I've dispersed those, so once I've sprinted, once I've lifted heavy, used all the muscles and bones in my body, once I've done an intense activity, what happens now is my brain fills up with these amazing pharmaceutical chemicals, but I produce them. I don't have to take them out of a packet. My body produces dopamine, serotonin. So dopamine's a reward drug. Serotonin's the satisfaction drug. So I feel rewarded that I've overcome the stress. I feel satisfied with my life because I've overcome the stress. I was able to do that because I had endorphins rushing through my body while I was overcoming the stress. And now I have brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is fertilizer for my brain. So now I've got a brain that can think more clearly, think more creatively, be more positive, and most importantly, come up with solutions. Whatever happened to me, if I produce brain-derived neurotrophic factor, I get neuroplasticity. My brain thinks differently. My brain changes. And I also get neurogenesis, which is new brain cells. So I can actually get smarter and wiser on how to handle a challenge. So whatever's happened in the past, could I look at that, learn from it, make sure I'm healthy, fit and strong, make sure I'm constantly doing high intense activity. So I'm pumping stress drugs into my body, overcoming the stress and then pumping happy drugs into my body, which means that I then expand my brain so I can think more clearly. I can overcome challenges, and when that challenge comes again, I can handle that challenge more effectively. So here's an interesting question. Now, this is politically incorrect, but it's been in my headspace now for so long that I just wanted to share it with you as an alternative, as an option. One of the things that has been a fascinating observation for me, and we've all either experienced it or we know people who have experienced it, is this thing called happy home stay or happy hotel stay. Now, there's other words for it, but that's what I call it, where the government says you have to stay home, or the government says if you've traveled, you have to go and stay in a hotel for 7 days, 10 days, 14 days. And can you, if you haven't experienced that, can you imagine locked in a room, air-conditioned air, no place to exercise unless you're really inventive, and obviously stressed because you're in an environment where you can't go and do what you want to do. I'll put that into perspective. Even if you're in jail, which is a horrible thing, if you want to punish somebody that's in jail, you put them into quarantine on their own. You put them by themselves. And it's a really soul-destroying experience. So imagine what that does to the human body if you put it away for 7 days, 10 days, 14 days in an air-conditioned room, no fresh air. I'm not sure what kind of food, and many people have had different experiences, but let's just say it's normal hotel food. And unfortunately, I've had too many opportunities to chat to chefs that have worked in hotels producing happy hotel stay food, and it certainly hasn't been the best quality food. So air-conditioned air, not very healthy food, no opportunity to exercise or limited opportunity to exercise, and a stressful situation. Could there be a more perfect storm for creating a body that's going to break down and get stressed and be likely to be hit by a virus or a germ, bug or disease? And I don't want to be politically incorrect. That's not what this is about. But what if there was an alternative to that? So what if instead of happy home stay or happy hotel stay, what if there was a government in the world, a governing body of either a state in a country or a country or a community that said this: if you want to live in our community, if you want to live in our country, if you want to be part of what we do here, we need people to be fit, we need them to be strong, and we need them to be mentally tough. So if you want to live here, we're not going to put you into happy hotel stay. We're not going to put you into happy home stay. We're going to put you into boot camp. Imagine, and I'm going to use New Zealand as an example because it's a little country, 5 million people, and it's an island. So imagine instead of, because there's been a time where it's been very difficult to get into New Zealand, whether you are a New Zealander or you come from another country, and there's certainly been nobody coming as a holiday to New Zealand for a very long time. But imagine this. Imagine that instead of having all the different kinds of testing that we're doing, and I have no argument about whether that's right or wrong, I'm just sharing from my heart to yours, what if this was an alternative? What if a human body had a healthy resting heart rate, a healthy blood pressure, low blood sugar levels, low cholesterol or healthy cholesterol levels, and your body was really fit and strong, so you could get puffed and recover quickly, and you could lift heavy? So they're just some biomarkers or signs of a fit, strong body. And maybe there's some mental testing there as well. So how's your headspace? And there are psychologists and psychiatrists who could really design some excellent tests on how mentally tough we are. So imagine to get into a country, into a community, into a state, instead of going into Happy Hotel Stay, you went to boot camp. And to get into the boot camp, you had to be tested for resting heart rate, blood pressure, blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, health, strength, because they're all healthy biomarkers. Maybe there was a weight test, because one of the challenges we've had with this virus is it's unfortunately affected people that have become obese. So imagine if there was weight, resting heart rate, blood pressure, blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, how fit are you and how strong are you? And you had to go to boot camp and you couldn't come out of boot camp until you were healthy, fit and strong. But in that boot camp, it was outside, fresh air, sunshine, activity, exercise, high intense puffing exercise, high intense activity from a lifting heavy point of view. So you had to get strong. You had to prove that you'd gotten stronger. You had to prove that you'd gotten fitter. You had to prove that you could handle stress, because maybe you were put in, and I'm thinking of some of those reality television shows where they put you under stress and you have to survive. Imagine if you couldn't come out of that camp until you could prove that you had really healthy resting heart rate. So you had a low resting heart rate, you had a normal healthy blood pressure, you had low blood sugar levels, low cholesterol levels, you were really fit and you were really strong and you were mentally tough. And you couldn't come out of there until you could prove that, which means you can now come and live in our community, because in our community, we're not going to discriminate against anybody. We love everybody. We don't care whether you're tall or short or old or young or fat or skinny. We don't care. All we care about is that you're really fit and you're really strong, so that if a challenge comes into our community, if a challenge comes into our country, we're all capable of handling it. Now, as I've shared that, it sounds a little bit not only hypothetical, it sounds a bit weird. How can you force people to get fit? How can you force people to get strong? How can you force people to eat healthy food? How can you force people to be hydrated and drink water? How can you force people to lift heavy things and get strong? How can you force people to do anything? Well, if history's taught us nothing, we now know that people can be forced to do a lot of things. And what if we focused on different forces? What if we were actually forced to prove that we were healthy, fit, strong humans? Would that make a difference? And I'm going to be now, this what I'm about to ask now is very politically incorrect. I'll give you the example of perhaps an airline pilot, a person responsible for 200, 300, 400 people at a time. You've got to take 400 people and your team up 40,000 feet in the air and take them to another country or to another city in a country. And you're responsible for those people's lives and the running of that aircraft. Well, those people have all of those tests I've just shared. To be a pilot, you have to regularly get tested for resting heart rate, blood pressure, blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, resting heart rate. You have to have a healthy weight and you have to be able to handle stress. And they are stress tested to look after 400 people, 200 people. Small plane, 50 people. Should we demand that of our politicians? The people that are running the countries of the world right now, the ones that are making the really big decisions about finances and health and hospitals and education and freedom. Those people, should we demand of our politicians that they have to prove to us that they have a healthy headspace and a fit, strong, healthy body, so that they are not responsible for 400 people, they are responsible for 4 million or 14 million or in some countries 400 million people? So is the person running your country, the person running your government, the person running your state, do they have a healthy resting heart rate? Do they have healthy blood pressure? Do they have low blood sugar levels? Do they have low cholesterol levels? Are they really fit? Are they really strong? And can they or have they been stress tested to prove that they can handle pressure and handle stress without panicking? That's a very politically incorrect question. But what an interesting question. Because one of the interesting things I was taught as a very young girl is that if you go into politics, if you go into government, you are called a public servant. It is your responsibility to serve the public, to look after their health, to look after their education, to look after their well-being, to make sure that there are police and ambulances and finances to run the company and country and good education and doctors and nurses and all of the infrastructure to make sure that the public is safe, that the public is healthy. And we hear it, public health measures, public safety measures, rules and regulations to make sure that everybody is safe. Because when you're in politics, you are a public servant. So should we be able to, if not demand, should we at least be able to ask our politicians, if you're going to control what happens in our country, do you have the mental toughness, do you have the physical strength and toughness to be able to handle what you are required to do? And I'm going to be now very harsh. If you look around the world right now, we have a, if you have a look at most of the leaders, not all of course, but most of the leaders that run the world, I'm not sure how well they would do in arresting heart rate, blood pressure, blood sugar levels, cholesterol levels, stress test, just pure health and fitness and mental resilience. I'm not sure they would do so well if they were put under that test, if they were put into that situation. We do it to our pilots though. They're looking after 100, 200, 300, 400 people, and they have to prove that they can handle, that their physical body can handle the stress of looking after that many people. Should we be able to demand that of the people that are supposed to be looking after us? And instead of using pharmaceuticals and instead of using medical interventions, what if hypothetically they weren't available? What would we have to do as humans to make sure that we are fit enough and strong enough and tough enough mentally to be able to handle any challenge that Mother Nature throws at us, that the government throws at us, that the world throws at us, and that our own personal lives throw at us? Are we fit and strong enough to handle tough personal relationships, a financial situation in our lives? What if our house gets burnt down? What if we lose our job? What if something terrible happens in our life? Are we capable of being the tough, strong human being that our kids can rely on to say, my mum, my dad can handle that. My boss can handle pressure. My community leader, my mayor, is really good at looking after our community or after our city. My president, my premier, my prime minister, they're fit, they're strong, they're healthy, they're happy, they're positive, they're optimistic, they're resilient, and I trust that they can look after all of us because they are proving physically that they have everything it takes to be a leader in our own lives, and the expectation we have for the other people that are leaders, that have the badge of leader. I can't control what other people do, but I want to be a responsible human being, and I want people to be able to look into my life and say, that lady, she's fit, she's strong. She might be really old chronologically, but physically she's really young. And if a challenge comes across her path, she can handle it because she's tough, she's strong, she's fit, and she's never going to panic because she's mentally strong. Is that a situation that our kids deserve? I want our kids to grow up in a world where they can feel safe and secure, that the adults know what they're doing and they can handle a challenge. Do you want to live in that world too, or do you want to be that kind of adult? I think it's a really great question.